This is Industry Matters, powered by BGM, a post-acute healthcare podcast about community, connections, and belonging. BGM is a member service organization serving durable and home medical equipment providers and suppliers. BGM also has communities for respiratory, complex rehab, women's health mastectomy, home accessibility, and orthotics and prosthetics. With BGM, you're part of something bigger. Welcome to Industry Matters. In today's episode, Adam Miller, president of OPGA, talks with Jeff Brandt of Brandt Ventures about the Limb Loss and Preservation Registry and the progress they've seen in the last year. They discuss the importance of the outcomes program in providing evidence-based care in the O&P profession.
Thanks, Mandy. I'm Adam Miller, president of OPGA, and with me is Jeff Brandt, CPO, advisor with the Limb Loss and Preservation Registry, and vice president of AOPA, to talk to you today a little bit about the registry and how vital it is to moving our profession forward. Jeff, welcome. If you could tell us a little bit about yourself, that'd be great.
Yes, thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. So my name's Jeff Brandt, CPO, formerly trained as a CPO, practiced for a few years back in the early 2000s, shortly after started a patient care practice. It's called Ability Prosthetics and Orthotics. That was in 2004. Was very interested in growing by using evidence and also electronic charts. And so grew that business to 14 practices across three states, or 14 locations rather, across three states. Sold the business in 2020, and have been filling my time working as a member of the External Collaborative Panel, or ECP, which is basically a fancy name for a board advisory board member for the registry effort. And recently became elected vice president of AOPA. So that's how I'm currently spending my time.
Well, I appreciate that background, Jeff, and thanks again for joining us today. Let's start with the basics. So if you could tell me just a little bit about the Limb Loss and Preservation Registry, what is it and how did it get started?
Sure. So the Limb Loss and Preservation Registry is really a first of its kind national quality registry effort that would be the first to link hospital prosthetist and orthotist, as well as patient reported or self-reported outcome measures, to link all three of those pieces of data in what would be a longitudinal picture for the patient population that we all treat. And the registry is, I want to point out, it's a limb loss as well as a limb preservation registry. And I think sometimes we don't consider the preservation part enough in all of this, but when patients come to our practices and they're amputees, usually the case, unless it's traumatic, that there could have been health episodes leading up to that amputation that we'd also love to capture in this database. So limb loss and preservation registry, we commonly refer to it as the LLPR. It is a national quality registry. So what that means is that I think the best way to think about that is a quality registry is simply focused on gathering large volumes of data on and shining a light on how people kind of manage the chaos of clinical practice. So in prosthetics and orthotics, you know, we all are familiar with, you know, different prosthetists and orthotists doing things differently, claiming their way is the best or most efficient or resulted in the highest outcome. What a quality registry does is it takes a uniform set of data elements, and we all collect those, and we don't get, we don't prescribe a protocol or anything like that. And then you just shine a light on high volumes of data around the common elements and start to see what you see and what you can learn about your patient population.
So is that the end goal, or what is the goal or the goals of the LLPR?
Right. So, yeah. So really the LLPR, as I said, you know, it, it, it has an opportunity to be what I would call a registry of the future, or more of a collaborative data hub, if you will, because we have different stakeholder groups, like I said, hospitals and patients themselves, right? Patients have to be a part of this. Their reported outcomes, while obviously subjective, are critical, as we all know, to their care and to their outcome. So to have some type of a patient engagement platform piece of all of this to bring their data in will be key. But the goal really of any quality registry is to, start to get at predictive indices. So what I mean by that is start to be able to provide patients with insight. So if you saw a new patient and you're keeping up with the registry and the data that's coming from it, perhaps you could see a new patient, think of them as part of a cohort of similar patients that are, of course, de-identified in the registry, but nonetheless have some of the same profiling characteristics. And you could perhaps give that patient some predictive insights into how their care might go or could go, as far as timelines, processes, anticipatory guidance around different clinical conditions and things like that. Also, another goal would be just earlier intervention. Some of what we may come to ask because of the data we're seeing, we may ask different research questions. We may ask questions probably that we don't even know yet that might be of interest to us or to our patients. So allowing us to intervene earlier, if we can see certain patterns in certain treatment pathways over time where patients had hiccups or, heightened periods of issues with their residual limb, or let's say, right, you'd be able to say to new patients, hey, here are the benefits of knowing this information, looking in the hindsight with patients similar to you. I also think just getting insights into the demographics of the patient population period that we service. we often in this country talk about, gaps in the data, and, we hear anywhere from 2.1 million amputees to 4 million. So it would be nice to just start with some basic demographic information on this patient population. And I think also, there are plans, we'll have social determinants of health. We'll also be able to look at some population, disparities where certain regions of the country might provide more limbs, more prosthetics than another region. So all in all, just, come together in a uniform way and we'll see what the data tells us.
At the end of the day, improved patient care is what's important to all of us.
That's right. Quality patient care.
Absolutely. Can you talk to me a little bit about the kind of some of the progress or updates the registry has made particularly in the last year?
Right. So it's a really exciting time at the registry right now. We are operational with an exclamation point. Starting last year, the design registries take a long time to build, and then they take a long time to populate with data. So no shortcuts here. But with COVID and a couple of changes in subcontractors, we are done. We finished last year or the very beginning of last year with the design and the build of the registry, sort of the technical back end of it all, the security, the mechanics of managing data. Now we are operational in the sense that we are just starting with some increased marketing efforts. We're starting to get a little more PR out there, starting to get our message out more. We're having pricing conversations right now, so to be able to tell folks what subscriptions to dashboards will look like in the future. We've been able to form a few partnerships, one with Western Media, so that we can have a vehicle in which to get our message to the patient, to make them aware of such a amazing effort that's happening. We also have had multiple conversations with all the national organizations and associations about how the registry effort may fit into their programs. And so, you know, just like, for example, talking with NCOPE about, you know, can we do some modules, educational modules about the registry so that all 15 master's programs can access teaching modules in an effort to get the same information to all the programs at the same time and in the same format. You know, we've got some podcasts going on, obviously. We're spending a lot of time one-on-one with providers. So O&P providers that are interested in the registry, you know, a lot of them are following a similar path. There's a lot of questions and I would say fear, maybe not fear, but just uncomfortableness around joining and participating in a registry like this. And so we've been doing these 1-hour informational sessions, which have been going really well. We're able to talk about the participation agreement. We're able to talk about the security, how really the registry works and can work in the future. So, yeah, that's really how we're spending our time right now. We just had a milestone update with the NIH and the DOD last week in Bethesda, and that went really well. And so, yeah, we're getting the word out right now and, trying to just remove barriers in any way that we can.
Sure.
To increase participation.
Sure. You had mentioned that a successful registry, you know, depends on participation. So I guess the million-dollar question is what's needed to participate? Is there a cost or a time commitment you can speak to participate, with the LLPR?
Right. Right. So right now, I mentioned the NIH and DOD. So right now, the registry effort is a contract effort that will be concluding by the end of this year, 2023. So how this works is sometime in the second half of this year, the NIH and DOD will approve a transition and a sustainability plan. And then at that time, we will start the process of firming up what the pricing will be, whether there'll be a hookup fee or not. We'll be coming out with some firmer dates. Right now, there is no cost to join the registry because it is still property of the government. And we're also not charging any kind of hookup fee. So if you wanted to join tomorrow, you could review the participation agreement. You could sign it. It's a pretty straightforward agreement. It includes a business associates agreement, and it's, you know, it's a 1-year contract. It's or agreement, and it's you can terminate it with 30 days notice. So it's pretty I think low stress as far as processing through that and signing up. And then because we are in the early phases of populating the registry, you know, there's not going to be a lot of user value for probably another 6 to 12 months, but you can't, you know, we can't produce dashboards with aggregate data if you only have a handful of people contributing data. So it's a bit of a chicken and an egg. So we're being very transparent about that with new sign-ons. Yes, we need your data. No, there's no fee to contribute, but we also won't start charging you for any kind of subscription until it makes sense that the data thresholds are to the point where they would be of value.
That makes sense. And I think a lot of, you know, a question that a lot of people wonder, is the data provided to the LLPR, is it secure?
Yeah, it is. It's actually it's encrypted, first of all, and it's what we call FedRAMP moderate level secure. And that doesn't mean anything to a lot of people. It doesn't even mean that much to me, but it's the second highest level security on data you can have in the country. So it is highly secure. And what I would say is that I use this mailbox analogy. if you had a mailbox with a door on both ends of the mailbox, and they're both closed, whenever the provider decided they wanted to send data to the registry, they would open one of the doors, they would push the data into the mailbox, they would close the door. Then the registry would get word on the other end that they had data in there. The data goes into your own company's file in that mailbox. It's not being mixed. And then the registry would open the other end of the mailbox, reach in, pull the mail out or the data, close the door. So now the mailbox is empty, both doors closed, and the registry would start scrubbing and processing that data. So I think that's an important point to describe it like that, because the registry is not coming into your electronic medical records system. And I should also mention, we are working with all three. We're working with OP, Nimble, and OP Solutions. Those are the three O&P EHRs that we're currently working with to help data transmission go seamless. And, you know, as far as time to do all that, too, you know, we estimate that it will take less than 10 minutes. And so, yes, manually, someone at each of the practices that's participating, they can set the frequency themselves, whether they want to export data from their EHR every 2 weeks, every month, however they define that or describe or want to do that. It'll be up to them. And then it'll take a few minutes to export and then load that exported file into the registry for transmission. So it's pretty simple and pretty clean. There is some more onboarding time that we ask of the IT staff at the organization, at the practice, if there is an IT staff or some SME in that company subject matter expert. But that's minimal. That's in the neighborhood of a very few hours, you know, so not even days of time. So
I mean, you mentioned Western Media and some national organizations and NCOPE and various other ones. Are there other partners you'd like to give a shout out to for helping, I guess, make the registry possible and help advance its growth? Excuse me.
Sure. Yeah. And that, you know, yes, it's a growing list. Thank you. So one of the first things we did the end of last year was partner with BData, BDATA. BData is a company based in Minnesota. And one of the comparable companies or organizations that they work with is the American Burn Association. And so the folks at BData have really brought in expertise in there's a lot of analogous timelines and types of risk adjustments and benchmarking that we would also want to have in prosthetics and orthotics. So their capabilities are very well matched to partner with us, and they've brought to life already some mock dashboards where we've been able to look at some early data that's in the registry, which I got to tell you is pretty amazing to be looking at live data and sort of slicing it and filtering it in ways that you know none of us have seen yet, which is pretty exciting for someone like myself and others on the effort that, you know, we've been looking for this data for 25, 30 years probably. Also, the American Orthotic and Prosthetic Association, AOPA, the Academy, everybody's been very supportive that way. We've been building strength in those relationships. Again, getting the word out, answering questions, providing awareness. American Board for Certification, right? ABC, BOC, especially with Limb Loss Awareness Month being, you know, this month. It's so cool that we're able to talk about this. In this way, I mean, Amputee Coalition, NCOPE, I think BOC gave us a shout out the other day in an ad that they had done for limb loss awareness. So yeah, it's it takes a true village for an effort like this. That term probably gets thrown around inappropriately sometimes, but this is definitely, I would think, a pretty accurate example of taking multiple multiple folks doing what they do well to pull this off. And absolutely, you know, we're on our way, so it's super exciting. On our website, we're putting up our partners. We have a running list of hospital systems that have joined, and we have a list of P&O providers that have joined. And then we also have logos of our partners so that we can, you know, showcase them. And for people who join, we give them a proud partner logo they can display on their websites. People can put collateral in their waiting areas so they can educate their patients.
I know I can speak of the OPGA, and we're very proud to be a part of that village that supports the registry.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you know, we've talked today about how a healthy registry can positively affect patient care. But can you speak to the type of impact that this registry could have on policy and advocacy for our profession going forward?
Sure. I think it is. I think it's enormous, the potential there. I think one case, an example right now, is the Government Accountability Office is in the process of responding to a letter that I think four senators had sent asking the GAO to look into, form a work group and look into, they described many questions around the provisioning of prosthetic and orthotic care. And one of the things they pointed to was what seemed to be a fragmentation of care, what seemed to be outdated data. I mean, some of the things that when you read the letter, if you read the letter after learning more about registries and collaborative data hubs and how they work, you read that letter and you think, well, wow, I think we can answer like 85% of what the senators were asking the GAO to look into by just, you know, all participating in a real robust, rich registry. We could perhaps start to answer some of those questions, you know, in a really repeatable, sustainable way, not just, you know, a pocket of people speculating over here and whatnot. So I think from a policy and advocacy standpoint, what better way to build any new policy or advocacy effort than referring back to this pillar, what I'm kind of calling a foundational or a transformational pillar that could be the registry. It really should be the source of all things P&O as we go forward.
Absolutely agree. If our listeners and our members would like more information about the registry or how to get involved, where should they go and who should they contact?
Sure. So we have a website, and that is llpregistry.org. So it's llpregistry.org. That's the website. And as I was saying, it's chock full of up-to-date information about where we are, where we're headed, and how you can participate. And if you email info@llpregistry.org, you will get a response from staff there that can share the participation agreement with you and also, you know, any informational materials to get you started on your registry journey.
Jeff, I can't thank you enough for joining us today and letting us know the update on the registry and how we can get involved and further the profession. So thank you again, and hope to chat again soon.
Thanks, Adam. Give my best to everybody at OPGA.
Will do. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Industry Matters. Make sure you never miss an episode by visiting vgm.com/Industry Matters Podcast or following Industry Matters on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Stitcher.